From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, Prayers That God Will Answer, the first in this series of studies on the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Valiant for Truth. The text is Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The Lord is a man of war. Jehovah is his name. Those who enlist under his banner shall have a commander who will train them for the conflict and give them both vigor and valor. The times of which Daniel wrote were of the very worst kind, and then it was promised that the people of God would come out in their best colors. They would be strong and stout to confront the powerful adversary. Oh, that we may know our God, His power, His faithfulness, His immutable love, and so may be ready to risk everything in His behalf. He is one whose character excites our enthusiasm and makes us willing to live and to die for Him. Oh, that we may know our God by familiar fellowship with Him, for then we shall become like Him, and shall be prepared to stand up for truth and righteousness. He who comes forth fresh from beholding the face of God will never fear the face of man. If we dwell with Him, we shall catch the heroic spirit, and to us a world of enemies will be but as the drop of a bucket. A countless array of men, or even of devils, will seem as little to us as the nations are to God, and He counts them only as grasshoppers. Oh, to be valiant for truth in this day of falsehood! If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Prayer is a matter which ought to be of paramount importance to every child of God. Yet, as Dr. Cairns will show from the Bible, there are kinds of praying with which God will have nothing to do. How then is the earnest Christian to know that he or she is praying in a way that is acceptable to the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ gave the definitive answer to this question, part of which is to be found in our text, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Now to continue this message, prayers that God will answer, here is Dr. Cairns.
When the heathens used mindless repetitions, they did it for a very specific purpose. The heathens mindlessly repeated their prayers and their devotions. If I could put it very colloquially, to disengage the mind, to get, as they felt, beyond the conscious, and to produce an altered state of consciousness, that they would feel something very, very different. In their case, they would think it was elevation, spiritual elevation. You find this with the priests of Baal on Mount Carmel, when they were repetitiously, in their heathen forms, pursuing their crying upon Baal. What they were doing was producing this altered state of consciousness in themselves. And that is always heathen. That's what the Lord is warning us about. And you know, He couldn't have been more up to date. Because now we find we have come full circle. Baal worship is now being not only brought into, but touted in so-called Christian assemblies as the latest and greatest discoveries about true prayer. I have publicly before inveighed against the charismatic delusion of singing the same chorus in a mindless way for about 30 or 40 times. But when people get into this constant repetition, whether, and especially dangerous in music, constant repetition, what it is doing, it is disengaging the active consciousness and the active work of the mind. It is a deliberate attempt to produce an altered state of consciousness. Some preachers have come right out into the open, and they have espoused some of the notions that have been popularized by New Age people. And they will tell you, some of them will tell you in so many words, that the way then, as you constantly repeat, the way then is to kick out your mind. The way to get answers to prayer then is this visualization process. But what is this? Some of them have even boasted that they have taken their ideas straight out of Buddhism and other forms of Eastern mysticism. What is this? Is it prayer? Both the hypocrite and the heathen coincide in this, that their praying is so centered upon man that the great result is subjective in themselves or in the people with whom they're worshipping. But the Lord Jesus shows us that true prayer is objective. It is directed toward God. Surely it will produce results in us. But we must not simply seek to manufacture those results or lookalikes of them and tell ourselves that we have prayed. The Lord Jesus is warning us to avoid praying like hypocrites and avoid praying like heathens. Now then, on the positive side, he goes on to show us how we should succeed in prayer. He says, when you pray, after this manner, in verse 9, he says, pray ye. Clearly, he means to give us definite, positive instructions about true prayer. The last thing in the world the Lord Jesus wants is that we pray to no purpose. Now let that sink in. Take your own life in the last week, to say nothing about the last year or the last 10 years. Have a look at your own life. Is there any purpose in your praying? Is there any reality in your praying? Or is it simply fulfilling a duty? Is it simply stifling a sense of guilt if you don't do it? Is it simply going through a form, multiplying words, repeating things you've been repeating for years with no more thought now than you had a year ago about it? The Lord Jesus does not want us to pray to no purpose. He wants us to pray the kind of praying that God answers. these verses that we have read, he tells us the persons that we must be in prayer. He tells us the place, the secret place that we must cultivate in prayer. He uses the word use, as in our translation, using vain repetitions and using them not. The idea is the practice that we must employ in prayer. And he goes on to give us specifically something about the petitions that we must ask in prayer. Now, this is the area that he's covering with his instructions. And I want us to sum them up very simply. First of all, in prayer, seek the communion of God, not the commendation of man. That's what the Lord Jesus is telling us. What is prayer? Fundamentally, prayer is the communion of a child with a father. It is communion with God. You know, that's to be. And I have to again back off and say this to me is one of the supreme challenges of Bible Christianity. This is to be the most real thing in the life of a Christian. Communion with God. Nearer than hands and feet. More real than the physical things we touch. Deeper rooted in our hearts than any other experience or any other desire. Communion with God. The Lord Jesus is telling us then, make that the goal. Seek communion with God. Do not seek the commendation of man in this matter of prayer. And then he's telling us, obviously, depend in faith on the love and the power of God our Father. The idea of the fatherhood of God is very much to the fore here. The idea of His love as our Father is very much to the fore. The idea of His power, He knows our need and He's able to meet that need. The idea of His love and power is fundamental to our coming to God in prayer. And the Lord Jesus is saying, get this in your heart. And let your faith take its stand here. That God is your Father. And He loves you. It's easy for us to say that. I've been thinking of this in recent days. I think the most underrated, underpreached, misunderstood doctrine in the whole Bible is the doctrine of the love of God. There are people who paint it in terms of sentimental, trashy talk that is far removed from the holy majesty of God. And there are other people who, like me, are committed to what the Bible teaches in the great areas that men call Calvinism or the Reformed faith, who have God all tied up in a little hyper-Calvinistic box. I read of a young preacher of the strict Baptists in England in the last century who got up and looked at his people, every one of whom would have been a professing Christian in his little assembly. And he looked at them and said, I'm sure there are some of you, God hates you. He will always hate you. He has hated you. He'll never do anything else but hate you. And no matter what you do or what you want or what you try, He'll hate you still and damn you because He hates you. The man was a madman. And a bad man. And a liar. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. I have to confess, as a preacher for many, many years preaching the Bible, I have made many attempts to preach on the love of God. And I think I have come up empty or almost empty every time. When I have used the greatest vocabulary of which I am capable, when I have used the deepest thoughts and the most extensive imagination of which I am capable, when I have looked up every verse and I have tried to understand it, yet I'm like a little child standing a half an inch deep on the edge of the great Atlantic Ocean. How great is the love of God, and especially as God's children, how great is His love to us. And yet when we come to pray, we have this lying idea of our God as a hard, vengeful, sort of whimsical person, a person who, on a whim, might bless you today and curse you tomorrow. Always standing with a big stick ready to clobber you at the least opportunity. I know God is holy. I know God is majestic. But the light of biblical revelation is God is love. Not only God does love, but God is love. When I come to the Lord in prayer, that's what I've got to be aware of. God is my Father, who loves me with an everlasting love. True prayer is to depend on, in faith, on the love and the power and the willingness of our God. If the Lord Jesus teaches us anything, He teaches us to speak honestly. To speak honestly in prayer. To speak openly. In Hebrews 4, for instance, when we are told in verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. The idea of boldness is with free speech. Uninhibited speech. Now, by uninhibited, I do not mean, as I said, gabbling and stupid and thoughtless. But I mean the lack of inhibition so that we can be honest with God. We can be honest with God. We can honestly open our hearts to the Lord. Look, He sees our hearts. We don't need to try to put on a show. We're not going to fool God anyway. But let's come with honesty and speak honestly to the Lord. And the Lord Jesus is teaching us to speak humbly to the Lord. To deal with this flesh and its pride and its desire to have the commendation of men. The desire of the flesh that even prayer would serve it. The Lord Jesus is saying, deal with that and speak honestly and humbly and heartily. And if verse 8 says anything, it's saying pray simply. Pray simply. Acknowledge your personal need in prayer. Acknowledge that the Lord can meet that need in prayer. Now, when you bring those two acknowledgments together, they will involve adoration of God and confession of sin. Those are parts of prayer. Adoration and confession. But basically, they must lead us to asking. Asking the Lord to meet our need. One modern writer summed up this and the following, what's called the Lord's Prayer, in very simple language that a child could understand. As a writer, I would very rarely quote, because he was suspect in so many things. But honesty compels me to say I think he got to the heart of the matter here. And I quote, Jesus says to us, when you pray, remember that God is your Father and your King. And that therefore you go to one in whom love and power are equally combined. When you pray, do not hesitate to tell God about your daily needs. When you pray, do not shrink from telling God about your mistakes. I may add, even worse than mistakes, your most abominable sins and crimes. When you pray, never forget to place the unknown future and all its perils in the hands of God. Now, those are things that are simple enough for a child to understand. Pray simply. And usually pray briefly.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.